This education feature brought to you by the UCT Graduate School of Business, the business school that's been setting the pace of business education in Africa for over five decades. And it is great to have on Natasha Dinham. Natasha Dinham is the Senior Project Manager at the Bertha Center. Natasha, good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Gino. Great to be here.
Wonderful stuff. Now, Natasha, I look at the situation at micro enterprises in particular. That's where you find the least liquidity. Your medium-sized business, small businesses, a little bit of liquidity depending who you are, but still a big struggle. What are some of the key things that businesses need to bear in mind when it comes to potentially surviving COVID-19?
Absolutely, Kino. It's such a critical time for business, and I think it's so important not just for the businesses themselves, but for the economy and society as a whole. I mean, we know that small businesses are the backbone of the economy and that they're creating jobs and empowering households and families and communities as a whole. And so this really is such a critical time for them. And I think that what small businesses need to be focusing on is how they get through the next 3 months. As you said, their overheads are high, cash flows are low. We're seeing some interesting things. We're seeing businesses pivoting. You'll notice that suddenly some of your local food providers are essential services and they're delivering. But overall, it really, really is a tough time. And the work that we're doing at the moment is looking into how businesses can engage with their investors to open up this conversation, because ultimately, the cash flows are going to be what's going to get them through the next couple of months and beyond.
Well, it should be a lot more than just looking at a healthy P&L and business as usual, because, that's fine. We need to make sure that, if you're looking at your operational expenditure, et cetera, that you cover all of that. But if you look at your income that you bring in, you should potentially look at diversifying your income stream. So if you, for example, a hotel and all you made your money on is maybe someone at a convention center and someone coming in, spending time at my hotel, and I rely on international guests, I now need to be looking at, hold on, what do I do to provide a better service locally? How do I actually make sure that our local residents who are going to want to visit Cape Town find real value in what I'm offering? And maybe things like, how do I start looking at digital conferencing to complement our conferences that will eventually take place? And eventually we could move on to pure digital conferencing as a business. So those are the sort of things we should be looking at.
Absolutely, Kino. I think pivoting in this moment, there has never been, as a small business, there has never been a better time to pivot. And we're fortunate that we live in the age of technology. So there are resources and tools available that help us to do that. And so businesses, as you say, absolutely need to be protecting their cash flow at this point in any way, shape, or form that they can. And just to come back to this, investors do play a key role in this. For a lot of businesses, pivoting completely at this point is just not an option. There's a certain amount of innovation that they can use, and then they're going to need to rely on the people who are providing them finance. And there are a lot of tools for those financial providers to be able to enable businesses to get through this time, both in terms of the finance that they're providing, but also in terms of the non-financial resources that they have to help connect these businesses to sources of funding that are available, to other networks and markets that they perhaps have not thought of, and to really handhold them through this time and bring in an external voice that provides resources that otherwise the business wouldn't have access to.
Yeah, and also be careful who funds you. You take money from someone who can't open up doors, you can have a very expensive loan to pay, or you'll be handing away equity to someone who is not going to add extra value, and money does run out.
Yes, totally. And I think this is something we always talk about when we're working with businesses, is that picking the right investor really is critical. And at a time like this, if you're looking for new funding and going to new investors, having that alignment up front is crucial. And looking at beyond what can they provide beyond just the finance in terms of the non-financial support. What we've seen some investors in the market do is is walking their portfolio businesses through the process of applying for some of the government resources that are available. I mean, it's fantastic that government has made funding available, but at this point, if you're a small business looking at this, it's a minefield of information, and it's a little overwhelming at this point. So you know, one of the it's a very small thing, but that investors are doing is just walking that journey with their businesses, and that has a lot of value in and of itself.
So investors, and even the people you bank with, the banks, right? Which is why you bank with them. So you've got these banks, and we had that chat with Jacques Saliers about a week ago, talking about businesses, and they've got 700, if not more, 700,000 businesses on their books. And I said, not only banks, even service providers, you'd be better served medium to long term helping the businesses on your books to innovate, offering them that service so that, you know, their trajectory looks a lot better medium to long term. So, yes, they come up with great tools you can use on apps, etc., but someone actually assessing your business, someone who's had experience leveraging the huge network of people who bank with you in any case to help build those small to medium-sized businesses is something that the banks, for example, should get involved with. And I was saying that people like Vodacom, instead of just trying to sell you a good package, what they should do is help develop solutions with these businesses. That at the end of the day, if people buy solutions, don't they?
Absolutely. I 100% agree, Kino. And, you know, the big corporates, at the end of the day, they have a lot more resources and as you say, networks that they can tap into. They have innovation departments that can help businesses pivot. Because at this point, time really is of the essence. Pivoting is always an option for a business, but at this point there aren't long lead times. Businesses have to move rapidly, and investors have the power with these teams and the non-financial side, and you combine that with a bridging loan or a payment holiday, and that's an incredibly powerful solution that banks and investors have.
And then the other thing is you're going to have this proliferation of accelerators and incubators, and we spoke to the prof who heads up your space, your solution space, and I think he had my idea. A lot of these things, a lot of these people and these organizations haven't been tested effectively. Be careful who you take advice from, because that is very, very important. I mean, I see that at UCT, there's this big drive towards design thinking. Every department is immersed into it. And maybe instead of just getting these management consultant types walking in where three people know all the answers to every vertical in the world, just the biggest load of bollocks as far as I'm concerned, you know, you should maybe entrust your future into the hands of those who are directly related to your business or indirectly related to your business to come up with innovative solutions and redoing business plans.
Well, I think that's the key thing, is that solutions cannot be one size fits all, especially when it comes to small businesses and innovating. And I think this is why we rely a lot on the design thinking methodology, because it's got to be bespoke. It's got to be targeted to that business's needs. And that does in and of itself present a challenge, because on the one hand, solutions have to be quick at this point. But on the other hand, they've also got to set the business up for not just the next 10, 11 days where we're getting through lockdown, but the next 3 to 6 months and potentially 3 years. This is, I think as we go along, we're increasingly realizing that this is not a crisis that's going to be over when lockdown is over. And so these solutions, although they need to be able to move quickly to release that cash flow, they also need to be sustainable solutions that can run over the long term.
We must get you on more often. Love chatting to you. Natasha Dunham, thank you so much. Senior Project Manager at the Bertha Center. And check out the Bertha Center, by the way. They're all about impact. Love the work that they've been doing. Natasha, have a good one and stay safe, eh?
Thank you. Thank you. No, you too.
Cheers, man. Now, the UCT Graduate School of Business is committed to building the future of business leaders. Their postgraduate degrees offer candidates the tools that they need to advance in the world of tomorrow. And through targeted learning interventions, their executive education short courses and customized programs give organizations a practical perspective to address the challenges that they're facing. You can SMS Build UCT GSB to 43884 to start building your future through transformative learning, because a new world needs new ideas.